This is The Spot, a BYU-Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts are Virginia Henry, Leland Boyd, and Dale Spaulding. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the host.
Welcome to The Spot. I'm Dale Spaulding.
And I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Leland Boyd.
Thanks so much for listening. We're talking today about summer movies. Now, there's a ton of movies that come out during the summertime. People are on vacations. That means a lot more money can go to travel. That means a lot more money can go to movies. So a lot of these big, huge companies stuff summer full of film. Let's jump into what makes a great summer movie. Now, this is one that we're going to actually engage a little bit of a debate. I want to pick your brains. What makes a good summer movie? Like, what makes a summer movie a success? And maybe even that's the wrong phrasing of it, but let's start off there. What do you guys think?
Well, for me, I think a great summer movie is family friendly because this is the time when families are all together, kids are off of school, there's more, it's not a school night, like you could go during the week, like you have more of an opportunity, more flexibility. And so when it is family friendly, it's applicable to a larger audience instead of just people who are interested in action movies or a certain franchise or, you know, I don't know, whatever floats your boat, horror movies.
As a family with your 5-year-old.
probably not, you know, but something that's family friendly is going to attract a larger audience and they're more available this time of year. So I think that contributes to the success.
That's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. Then what do you think? I would probably go with something that's fun. Because, I mean, in the summer, you know, it's nice out. Everyone wants to have a good time. But if they're going to go inside for a movie, they don't want to sit there and be bored. They want to have fun. They want to be entertained the whole time. Summertime is when we get the big, you know, Avengers movies, you know, Marvel movies, Disney movies, Star Wars. All the exciting stuff comes out in the summer all the time. And then winter, it gets a lot quieter. Spring starts to pick up a little bit. That sort of thing happens. If you, like, look up what summer movies are coming out in 2018, most of them are like, you know, comedies or action. Those are the two big ones for the summer because everyone just wants to have fun. They don't want to be stuck inside watching a movie and be bored the whole time.
For me, when you are creating a summer blockbuster, of course you want it to be fun. And I totally agree with both of you. I feel like there needs to be a sort of relevance. And I know that it a lot of times relevance can be created because of a franchise. And I feel like relevance, not just when it comes to the content, not when it comes to the story, but also the overall message of that film. And yeah, it could just be to entertain. It could be that it's actually talking about a bigger issue that is relevant to our country, to our families. Mm. And I think that that is actually kind of a nice little caveat. It's not necessarily essential to have that moral, but relevance is key in there. And yeah. I think that's really important.
Along with that, just something that I've noticed with the upcoming movies this summer is, and you're talking about relevance, like what is up with our society right now, blah, blah, blah. Well, a lot of these movies, at least several, have a lot of women leads in the cast. So like Ocean's 8, complete woman's cast, right? Mm-hmm. Incredibles 2, we know Elastigirl takes the lead as like the superhero, right? And then you have The Spy Who Dumped Me, which has two lead females. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp, we see the Wasp, you know, she comes up into play as like almost the cooler partner, you know, than the actual superhero.
And the villain on that one is a female as well.
Done. Mm-hmm. Bang. You know, we see, like, I feel like this is becoming more apparent in the film industry that, you know, women are wanting more leads, they're wanting more recognition. I mean, it's just apparent in Hollywood that's something that they're pushing, that a lot more women are becoming prominent in the movies that we see coming out this summer, at least, which is relevant. I
do like that. That's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
How many movies this summer are actually original? Not sequels and not part of a bigger franchise.
Yeah, so actually I was getting ready for this. I was looking this up and I just Googled summer movies 2018 and it pulls up a list from, it looks like Esquire, of just a bunch of really big name movies.
Yeah.
Of 14 movies listed as the top ones coming out this summer, 5 are original new ones.
Wow.
At least if you Google that. I mean, there's a few other movies I know that are coming out this summer that aren't listed. One or two of them original still. Or actually, even though one of them is based on a book. So, not entirely original.
Interesting.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, like,
dun, dun, dun. They're running out of ideas.
I guess that's a good point as any. Like, do you feel like franchise fatigue is a real thing? Like, what makes franchise fatigue, and how is it that summer movies don't get that far? What gives us, what is the definition of blockbuster fatigue? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
So I would say it's, you know, it comes from some sort of film franchise that has a lot of films behind it. It's a whole universe built up, and people are just
so is
kinda,
that just Marvel?
No, not just Marvel. Okay. I mean, like Harry Potter, like there's something like that that wasn't really talked about at that time, but I could kind of feel that when I was growing up and seeing that. Star Wars, or just a style. I mean, like Disney, there's Disney movies coming out all the time. I'm getting pretty tired of seeing Disney movies all the time. Like, I see that there's a lot of fatigue going on. I know everyone's praising, you know, Avengers Infinity War, like, oh, they beat the fatigue. Everyone was tired, but everyone got hyped for this. But then at the same time, flip side, Ant-Man's coming up. I know I don't care. I'm not interested in watching that again. I feel like that's kind of like a good chunk of people are doing, but it's still going to be a success, I feel like.
Sure.
So a lot of people are going to see it. And then again, I haven't seen Infinity War, so maybe there's that too.
Okay, I definitely think it's a real thing because you kind of get the feeling of, wow, they're totally beating a dead horse. Or back to like, this isn't an original idea. It's the same thing. A dinosaur roars, people run, they scream, people get eaten, then they win and they escape. You know, like...
And that's the win.
Which movie
is that? To escape
is
to win.
Right, yeah. I'm right. I mean, obviously there, I'm referring to the Jurassic franchise.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was thinking about, I think that what contributes more to franchise fatigue is when you don't really see an end in sight. So, like, for instance, think about Harry Potter or Twilight or The Hunger Games. They're a set of books, or even The Maze Runner. You know, you've got books that they're following. You know that it will end. Right. And so there's less likelihood for people to get exhausted with it unless they decide to. I mean, people have their own opinions about splitting the last movie into two parts and stuff. But we don't need to get into that. I think with others like Star Wars or the Jurassic franchise or Mission Impossible or Marvel's, like, those don't really have an end in sight because they can just come up with another story to add on to it. And so then it's like, oh my gosh, again? Like, really? What else is there? I don't know.
And I think kind of bouncing off that too, I mean, even those things that you're talking about that have a foreseeable end, they're finding ways to work with those. Like Harry Potter ended. They built a whole new franchise off of it. And I know I didn't have any interest when it came out. And that's, I think, is a big thing that's starting to affect Hollywood. They're building all these ideas that first everyone was so excited for. But I think it's starting to kick in. People are kind of tired of it. Like, I know last year there was that movie Logan that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of addressed fatigue, actually. It talked about how the big symbolism of it was superhero movies are like Westerns. Like, they're starting to die out, kind of. It's starting to come to an end. And they'll always be seen as good. But how many Westerns are coming out these days anymore?
Right.
It kind of ended.
I can count two. And before that, there was like none for a few decades.
Mm-hmm. It's starting to come around, and like, superhero movies won't die, but just the time is probably coming up for them. Like, they need to start addressing it.
I can agree with that, but I can also disagree, because these are characters that have been sitting on top of our public awareness for decades. I mean, every superhero that you can think of course, we know the forefront are those that are within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Those are the ones that we can think of immediately. Why? Because they are the ones that are published and talked about the most right now. But I do think that superhero movies in that way, and not just because I'm biased for Marvel, but it's because the story of a superhero is one of those centric stories that we have had for thousands of years. I mean, if without getting too deep into it, you look at the modern-day superhero, and you're basically looking at the Greek heroes of
like,
the thousands of years beforehand.
Yeah, or like almost watered-down versions of like Greek gods, in
exactly.
a sense. That, you know, they come in, they sweep in, they have these supernatural abilities that are above those of the normal people.
Immortal.
Yeah, immortal. Yeah. And they're able to you know, save people from things they can't save themselves from themselves.
And so I feel like because of that, there is a bit of a redundancy, but there's also a connectivity with man and heroes. Mm-hmm. And heroes, in the ancient sense, is more divinity and man. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, we all have some divinity in us. We just need someone to inspire us to be better, which is personified in the hero. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I know. Yeah. I totally agree with that. One last thing on, like, the franchise fatigue. The only problem I see with that manifesting itself into reality is people can be insanely loyal. I mean, you still have Harry Potter freaks out there.
As Leland looks over at me. Yes, I know.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Yeah, no, like, you can still have, like, I mean, there are still, like, Harry Potter nerds out there, and you're like, whoa, that was, like, forever ago, you know, or things like that. And so people are still, I mean, even you think about Incredibles 2 smashing at the box office right now. And when did the last movie come out? I mean, you know,
14 years ago.
Yeah, 14.
A long time ago. But people are so loyal. When they like something, they will just go.
There's, and we can 10-year-olds and 30-year-olds
exactly.
going to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. And, but that's such a brilliant strategy of Pixar. Yeah.
Well, it's really a lot of companies that are doing this franchising thing.
Yeah. And it's making a lot of money. I can't blame them for doing that. I mean, we want to make money, but it's becoming a lot more difficult to put out those original movies. I guess kind of going to fatigue, the movie fatigue, that's kind of kicking in for me. A lot of these sequels and stuff I see, I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I'll rent it for sure. Or I'll find somebody to watch it online. But some of the new, more original stuff coming out, I kind of want to see in theaters more. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I've never seen this before. Whereas Ant-Man, oh, I've seen the last Ant-Man movie and a dozen other superhero movies. I'll just see it when it comes on rental. I'm not missing it.
See, I'm like the opposite. For me, if I see some, like Ready Player One, that came out a while ago. Mm-hmm. Not a summer movie, but like I was like, whoa, that looks way weird, totally out of my element, not going, right? I didn't go. But for something that I'm familiar with, like, you know, superhero movies, the Jurassic movies, like that type of stuff, I'm like, I am there. You know, I'm totally one of the people that they make their big bucks off of because I'm so loyal to franchises that I really like.
Sure.
That I will totally just keep going. But the new stuff, I'm like, I don't know if I actually want to spend money on something that I'm not sure about the quality. Whereas I know Marvel, like, produces great quality movies. And the Jurassic movies have been great. I can't say much about, like, the Oceans franchise or Mission Impossible because I haven't seen them. But see, like, I haven't seen them, and so I didn't feel a huge drive to go see the next one, right? So it's like, I don't want to jump in the middle of a story, so I'm not going to go.
So, I mean, that being the case, if a person does want to come into that situation, all they have to do is go back and watch.
Yeah.
Now, there's two things that I actually have added to our list. We started the list earlier of what makes a summer a summer blockbuster successful or good or great, however you want to coin it. We wrote down family-friendly. We wrote down fun. And I've added relevance. In the course of our conversation, I've already added two more. Familiar topics, familiar stories even, things that we have seen in the past. Incredibles 2 is a perfect example and one of the most relevant ones right now because it's literally in theaters just last week. The other one is money. I mean, whether or not we acknowledge it, every time we go out to a movie and we give them our money, we are supporting film going and we're supporting the stories that these people are giving out. So in a way, franchise fatigue, I don't know. This is my thought. And maybe you guys can comment on this. But do you think that maybe we're feeding franchise fatigue because we're literally paying these people to give us more content? In one way or another, our money is helping them produce more content.
They're like, oh, we should do another one because people loved it. But it's like, no, just end on a good note. Just don't kill it.
Well, I've heard definitely a big complaint or is like people like talking about these franchises and how the stories are getting old and not really experiencing new things. They're like saying, you know, people, viewers have to vote with their wallets, basically. That's all Hollywood listened to. Like, was it like the last Jurassic World movie? It got pretty like mediocre ratings, if I remember correctly.
Sure.
Like, people didn't really care much about it, but it made a huge amount of money, and now we're getting a sequel. And it's like, oh, I didn't care about the last one, but I gave it my money, so here I go. Thanks.
Or with like Star Wars, how they saw like, holy cow, like, you know, all these different movies like Rogue One and, you know, The Force Awakens and these, they just, boom, like so much money, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're like, let's do a Han Solo story. But it's not doing as great. And so, like, what are they, you know, what are they going to do now? Did they have plans on the books that they're going to be like, Oh, well, shoot. Guess
if Solo
should...
does well, we have another anthology for Boba Fett.
It's going to be definitely interesting to see what's going to happen after this summer, because, like, that's the idea that Disney had, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, Last Jedi, it had huge controversy in it. Half hated it, half loved it.
Yeah.
Everyone was fighting each other, but they're like, whatever. We made a ton of money off of it, and next week we're going to make a ton of money again. And if
but
I understand,
they didn't.
Yeah, Solo, I think it's still struggling to make its budget back.
Yep.
And now everyone's like, oh, like, what's happening? Like, what do we do? And it's like, maybe the ratings do matter. Maybe fatigue is kicking in. Who knows exactly what's going to happen? The future of Star Wars and other franchises, how they're going to look at it and see what to do and what not to do.
I think, too, that one other factor of what makes a good summer movie is controversy. Mm-hmm. You guys brought that up. But you think about it, word of mouth is one of the best advertising avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you really get the word out there for this movie is, quote unquote, amazing. And you know that there are people that are being paid to put out that kind of content. But if someone goes to a movie, one of your best friends goes to a movie and they come and talk to you about this film, oh my gosh, Infinity War was amazing. I'm literally floored right now. I cannot wait until the next part. Yeah. You're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. What is this? I've never even heard of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know what kind of person wouldn't hear about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But in the event that they haven't, they're thinking, oh man, I got to check this out.
Yeah.
It's free advertising. And so in that way, I feel like controversy, for better or for worse, is really going to help push sales. So maybe it's more of a factor of money in the end, but controversy does help in creating a good summer movie.
Yeah, just something that everyone's talking about.
Right. So acknowledging that all of these different films have come out, and even with this list here, we have some big ones, big blockbusters that have already hit. But we're not just talking about the ones that have already gotten into theaters. We're talking about the ones that could potentially get into theaters, things that we're looking forward to ourselves. So knowing and looking out for films that are family-friendly, fun, relevant, and that are going to make a butt ton of money, maybe even a little controversy in there too.
Yeah.
What is your vote for the summer movie of 2018?
Dun, dun, dun.
So for me, definitely I'm looking at a lot of the movies that are coming out. Mm-hmm. A lot of them franchises I don't care for really anymore. When I get asked what I think the best movie of the summer will be, I kind of think of more story presentation. What would the film, the art kind of style be? I'm kind of stuck. I'm not too sure on that. I mean, I did just see this horror movie, Hereditary, that came out.
Mm.
It was super scary. It's like not family friendly.
Sure.
But I thought it was fantastic. And then there's another movie, Sicario, too. That's not
family. It is a sequel.
It is a sequel, which is frustrating, but I haven't seen the first one. I really mean to. And it's not family friendly. And it's not fun. It's going to be dark.
So what makes it the biggest of this summer?
Well, at least for me, it's because it's so relevant, though. It takes place, in Mexico, modern-day Mexico, U.S. relations going on there. And I'm excited to see, what they do with it. They're exploring, dark elements of crime and stuff. And I'm like, I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see what they do with this. I heard the last one was incredible. And so I want to see if this one's going to be great. But I'm also scared it could be just they took... they thought it was the action that everyone loved. So we're just going to put tons of action in it. It's going to be great. And I'm like, no, it's not what I wanted. I wanted to see these characters again. I wanted to see growth and new things. Financially, Disney's going to dominate in the summer. Who knows which movie? Incredibles 2, Ant-Man, Avengers. What does it matter? Same difference to me. And then another movie that's coming out, I want to put out there, it's like some indie smaller movie called Eighth Grade, where it's a movie about a kid in eighth grade. And like, I don't know, I heard
that was an uncomfortable time. I'm not really sure I'd go see that.
Well, that's the thing. I heard this director like really nailed what eighth grade was like.
Really?
Gave a lot of great messages, a great story, great characters. You just loved all of it. And it was sad at some points and really happy. That's something I'm excited for artistically, because it's original, it's new, and a lot of people who saw it said they felt like they were in eighth grade again, and they could see that world, and I'm interested to see what it's like.
All right, that works. So you've kind of given us a slew of ideas for potential biggest winners of this summer.
Yeah.
But you haven't really settled on one?
Not really, no.
Okay, Virginia.
Okay, so for me, I really think it's... I think Incredibles 2 is going to be the biggest movie of the summer. I don't really think that's up to debate. I mean, Avengers was a huge hit, but...
Commercially, monetarily.
Monetarily, but I think...
And ratings.
Yes.
I saw it. amazing. It was really good. But Incredibles 2.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, no, it's not. Incredibles 2 is a perfect example of, I think, a really good balance. So it's, I mean, yes, it's animated, but it still has, like, action in it, right? It's exciting. Right. It's fun. It satisfied the relevance of having a female lead and talking about, you know, dad at home, family, has that family friendly. It's also already making a ton of money. It's familiar to a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Adults who saw it when they were little and kids who've been raised on it. And then I don't know if it really has a, I mean, it has a little bit of controversy because of the dad's at home and the mom's out and about.
I can even, in a more meta sense, it does have more swear words than any other Pixar film.
Really?
So automatically,
what?
Yeah.
Stop!
So
I have no idea.
It's very odd how they do it. But they place the swear words in to the conversation, so it's in a way that you don't really notice unless you're listening for it.
But to satisfy the adults. And
right.
Not
even so, there are families, there are parents out there that are already pissed about that because it's a Pixar movie. You shouldn't swear in a Pixar movie, that kind of a thing.
Wow,
so
I didn't even know
that. So the controversy aspect even has that.
Yeah. So there we go. Like, I feel like it fulfills all of, like, what people want in a summer movie. Plus, it's not experiencing franchise fatigue because the last one came out almost 15 years ago.
Right.
And here's the sequel. And I hope, I mean, I haven't seen it, so maybe I changed my mind. But I almost hope they won't make another one. Right. I just kind of want it to be like, just let it be. Almost like Finding Nemo and Finding Dory. You know, like, I didn't see that Finding Dory either. But, like, just, like, letting it be. So it's not fatigued. And it's already a hit. And then, of course, the only other contender I would say would be Avengers Infinity War.
Right.
But that was less family-friendly because it appeals more to the almost teenage, young adult audience. And, I mean, I fell for it.
Hook, line, sinker.
Hook, line, and sinker. That's what I meant to say.
So I would actually agree with you when it comes to Infinity War. Commercially, we know that it's destroying the box office.
Yeah.
And it has been for the past few months. I would say, too, that this movie, Infinity War, isn't family friendly.
Yeah.
If you're really looking for an objective perspective, Infinity War is full of violence. You have these crazy creatures that they're having to fight against at the Battle of Wakanda. They're literally getting chopped in half through a force field, for one. I'm not going to go into it because it's kind of spoiler territory. Mm-hmm. But to kind of finish this off, I do think Infinity War is definitely up there. But I agree with you on Incredibles. I really do. As far as having all of these factors we've already discussed, not to mention it doesn't have franchise fatigue because it's given us enough time to breathe. To the point where people, when they see Incredibles, they're like, ugh, what happens next?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that if a film, if you're in a series, and this is not related to our discussion at all, but if you're in a series of films or books, you have to leave your viewer with a sense of what happens next. If you don't do that, you are not successful.
Right.
And so I guess that's it. I guess that's kind of the consensus at this point. Leland's got kind of a smattering of different ideas.
I'm all over the place, yeah.
Sure. That's fine.
Ultimately, I just want a good movie.
I think I can agree with that. I can agree with that. This has been our episode of The Spot talking about summer movies. I am Dale Spaulding.
I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Leland Boyd.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you around.
You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were Virginia Henry, Leland Boyd, and Dale Spaulding. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by Leland Boyd. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brandon Isle. Our theme music is Running by DJ Quads. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media, or visit our website, BYUIdahoRadio.org, and click podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to The Spot on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get podcasts.